And today we're going to speak from the topic, the divine connection equals divine enablement. The divine connection equals divine enablement. And our text is from John 15, verse 5. And it's just one verse there. We'll read others elsewhere, but John 15, verse 5. And this is Jesus speaking. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The main idea is it's all about the vine. And you know the way my brain works, it was all week long I was saying, it's all about the vine, about the vine. So those of you know who, where that comes from, you know, but that's, you know, it kept it with me, all about the vine, the true vine. But if that helps you remember it this week, who it's all about, then let it be. So as we continue with this month's topic on privileged partners, today we will look at the fact that although it's a partnership, the burden of provision and maintenance in this relationship falls almost totally on one person. And I threw in the word almost. That one person we will talk about is the Holy Spirit. But that almost is in there because in this partnership, we are told that our part is to believe. And it is a part, important part. So our text passage, John 15:5, picks up a discourse of Jesus with his disciples, where he is preparing them for his imminent departure. And the previous chapter is where he starts telling them that, you know, I'm not going to be here for much longer. I'm going to be leaving you. So in true form, he begins to prepare them for that departure. John 14:1, Jesus says right off the bat in the first verse, do not let your hearts be troubled. His preparatory statements continues through that chapter. Verse 16, he says, you know, the Father, he's going to send someone who's going to be with you forever. Verse 18, he continues to prepare them. He says, I won't leave you as an orphan. One of my favorite verses. I will not leave you as orphans. Verse 19, he says, the world won't see me, but you will see me. Verse 25 of chapter 14 says, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. And verse 27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Then it repeats again, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. All of these statements led to our text passage in the 15th chapter of John. It led to explaining the relationship that they would have with the absent Jesus and that we have with him being physically gone. The relationship we have in absence of the physical Jesus is like that between a vine and its branches. It's a privileged partnership indeed. Why did Jesus use the relationship between a vine and its branches to compare his followers' relationship to himself? In nature, the vine serves as the source of nourishment, strength, and life, while the branches depend entirely on the vine for survival and to produce fruit. So what's the connection? What are aspects of this connection with the branches and the vine? So the connection between a vine and its branches, number one, is life. Life itself. The branches cannot survive apart from the vine. In Acts 17, we read these words, "In him we live, breathe, move, and have our being." These words were spoken by the Apostle Paul when he was explaining God to the Athenians. They had a statue that they worshiped, and they named that statue the unknown God. So he explained that the God of creation is not some remote, distant, mysterious, uninvolved entity. He is not only present, but he is the only one who deserves our true and undivided worship. In describing who this vine is, who God is, one of my favorite writer, C.S. Lewis, who tells the truth, you know, I read him, his works for stimulation of my brain. I don't really get a lot of that, what he's saying, but I'm reading it as a sort of mental exercise, you know, and certain aspects of something he'll say, you know, as the great philosopher, I'll underline, I'll say, oh yeah, I can resonate with that line right there, but, you know, his arguments are way beyond my pay grade and my, yeah. But C.S. Lewis, I started reading his book about miracles. And he refers, as he is making an argument for the supernatural, he refers to the Creator God, creator of the universe, he writes, who is self-existent. And I underline that word, self-existent. Oh, yeah, I can get with that. I love that description of who God is. He made everything, but nobody made him. Yeah. Self-existent. That's who he is. Mm-hmm. It is this God, the author of all life, that we are in partnership with. Amen. We are in partnership with the true God, the self-existent God. That's who we are in partnership with. For those of us who have received his salvation, we acknowledge that true life began for us the moment we acknowledged Jesus as our Savior. Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent," John 17:3. The vine is life. Outside of God, nothingness, pointlessness, insignificance, emptiness. Have you ever tried to give encouragement to someone who had decided to reject God and his salvation? They come to you with a problem, but one of your main solutions would be to encourage them to trust God. But since they've rejected any notion of God, you really find yourself sometimes in a quandary. You have sometimes little to offer. Your solutions seem futile. Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 2 of his letter, "Remember that at one time you were dead, following your cravings, excluded from your heavenly citizenship, without hope, without God in this world. That's paraphrase. So why did he tell them to think about this? Why remember the time when you didn't know God? Why think about what it would be like to be in this world without knowing God? These reflections reorient us to what is true, what is really true. And as we think about who he has become to us, you know that song I started to sing as I was writing this? Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I will never forget how you set me free. I will never forget. How can I forget? Is another verse in that song. How can I forget what you've done for me? In this world, we have divine connection. So the vine connection is connection with life itself. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Another aspect of this connection is peace. Now, connection to the vine enables the branches to get just the right amount of nutrients. Peace is one of those nutrients we receive in connection with the vine. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. My peace I give to you. No fake imitation, not a replica. Something that looks real but cannot stand up to the test of authentication. I'm giving you what I have. I am giving you the ability to sleep through the storm. That's the kind of peace I have. You remember the story? They're in a boat, they're in a storm. And what's Jesus doing? He's asleep. I'm going to give you that. I'm giving you some of that. Not some of that. I'm giving it all to you. My peace, I'm giving to you. My source, Jesus is saying, will now be your source. My nourishment from the Father will now be yours. He says the spirit of truth is going to be given to you. The spirit of truth. Yes, I'm going back to where I came from. But because I live, you also will live. You will realize that I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. And when I read this, it kind of reminded me of what Pastor's sermon was last Sunday. Amen. My life is your life. Your life is my life. Amen. The vine connection is not a theory. And you got to excuse me for this little part here. You know, I love science. I was a science minor. If anyone, you students in here are studying science, and it's wonderful, isn't it? Science, right? So you know that a theory is a set of ideas that's used to explain, predict, or to understand something. Theories go through rigorous testing in the lab environment to see if it holds true. But there's only so much you can do in the lab environment. The lab environment can simulate reality only to a certain degree. To experience all the variables, you have to expose your assumptions to real-world situations. Jesus says, I am giving you someone who will withstand any test that comes against it. He is called truth. Truth. That's what you will have with you. Truth. Divine enablement that we get through the vine is what you get when you expose, when you are connected to the real world. Divine enablement is what you get when you expose the vine connection, to the real world. It's a connection that is proven in the reality of everyday life. His peace is realized in the storm. If you want to find out if a structure can withstand the elements, it has to experience the elements. We have moved from the theoretical to the actual in our faith journey. When we face turmoil, disruptions, loss, uncertainty, and find he is giving us that peace that surpasses our understanding, we have moved from the theoretical to the actual. There's no way around it. There's no way around knowing what we really have without it going through some rigor. Those verses in 2 Corinthians 4 that we've read before describes a situation or several situations where Paul says, hard pressed on every side, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. These words are from someone who experienced divine enablement. He says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. It's not generated by us. The branches cannot have this by itself. It's through its connection with the vine, and that's what we have. So this is not fake stuff. It's real. I can't see a way out. I'm feeling all the feelings. I feel the worry that comes from not knowing. I don't know how things are going to turn out. But I'm experiencing a settledness as if everything will be all right. Yeah. What is that? He says, my peace I'm giving to you. Through the struggle, we find that we no longer have a petri dish faith, but real faith. Yes, this faith in Christ is my sustenance. In the lab, scientists can test to see if a disease-producing organism will be destroyed by applying a cure. So they have the bacteria, and then they'll add to it, the particular substance, the antibiotic, whatever, and see if it culture. Yes, the petri dish is what I'm talking about. And if it eats it up, if it obliterates it, we're like, okay, we got something here that's going to work. But we got to see if it really is going to work. It may work in the petri dish, but will it work in that person? Will it work in the real environment? So through what he is doing, our connection with him, we don't have a petri dish faith. We have a faith that's been proven in the reality of life itself. Divine enablement, otherworldly enablement. It's not of this world. It comes through him. So when we come to church, it's a kind of lab environment. We learn that if we walk by faith and not by sight, it's a good thing. We learn that love conquers. We learn that when we return a blessing when cursed, we are blessed. But until it has been applied in a real world situation, it's merely theoretical. But when by the Spirit we experience that supernatural love, we can sing our song. It's real. When by his Spirit he transforms us in the moment, we go, it's real. This was not how I was thinking before. I was like, yes. I was here in my stance. I was here in my love. I was here in what I decided to do. But now I'm here.
Yes.
You know? Divine enablement. His Holy Spirit is at, it really is at work. And you know, it's almost like having an out-of-body experience. One day I was like, you know, I had found myself giving grace to someone. And it was like a struggle in me because I was like, this is what you deserve, but this is what I'm going to give you. I was like, but no, what about what they deserve? And in my spirit with the Lord, but what about what there is? This is what you're going to give them. And he enabled that. And it was not of me. It was him. I was like, Lord, look at what you can do. Look at what you can do. Divine enablement. That's what we have in our connection with the vine. So there's an example of the vine connection that we were going to just read. It's in Acts 20. And we are going to turn there, if you can turn to Acts 20. Let's see. Acts 20. And the whole episode is in two chapters. We're not going, of course, not going to read Acts 20 and Acts 21. But in Acts 20, verse 22, we're going to read there. So what had happened here, Paul is giving his farewell to the Ephesian church, and he calls the Ephesian elders together. And he starts in verse 17. We can read from verse 17. It says, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, you know how I lived the whole time when I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears. Although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. Excuse me. He says, I have declared to both Jews and Greeks, verse 21, that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Paul sends for the elders, and he says, he is compelled by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. So what is he going to face in Jerusalem? The only thing he knows that it's going to be prison and hardship. That's what he's going into. And there's one point about this, first point about this, is that just because something is hard doesn't mean that he hasn't called us to it. And, you know, that's something that the Lord is refreshing me with. Yeah, this is hard. Facing a situation, and I was before the Lord, I'm saying, crying and distress. And I said, Lord, is this how it's going to be? And a still small voice said, yes. Mm-hmm. Paul said that he was among them with tears. I serve the Lord with great humility and with tears. We're in a situation that's humbling. Just because you're feeling those feelings doesn't mean that God didn't call you to that. In verse 21, Paul moves on and he goes to visit some other saints. In Acts 21, verse 4. And in Acts 21, verse, we just have to just read that little piece there. Let's see. Finding the disciples there, he stayed with these disciples in this new city. And it says, through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. And, yeah. And so, but when our time was up, we left and continued on our way. All the disciples, their wives and children accompanied us out of the city, and there on the beach, we knelt to pray. After saying goodbye to each other, we went aboard to the ship and returned home. And then he said, we continued our voyage, and I'm skipping ahead. Leaving the next day, he says, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip, the evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. Now, I just love that verse. It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today, but I love that he had four unmarried daughters who were prophesying. They were speaking God's word. They were anointed by God. I was like, yeah, yes. I love anything that brings that out in the scripture. Just kind of, yes. Because my heart, you know, as a young Christian, I was like, yeah, Lord, I want to be that one. I am that one, Lord. I want to be that one. But continuing on. Verse 10 said, after we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way, Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. Are you following what's going on here? So first, the Spirit tells Paul what's going to happen to him when he gets to Jerusalem. The Spirit tells the church. And then the Spirit tells these other folk, this other prophet now, who's going to give him a demonstration of what he saw in his vision. He says, when we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Paul answered, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, the Lord's will be done. Now, to tell you, as I was reading this, I was in a quandary. I said, Lord, I don't get this. I just don't get it. You know, when you're reading and you're studying the word and you don't get it, we have access, right? We have that connection where we can say, well, what's this about? Mm-hmm. Open my eyes. Enlighten me, Lord. What's going on here? My quandary was the Spirit revealed to them what was going to happen. But they said, don't go. Their response was, don't go. We see what's going to happen. Don't go. So I said, Lord, well, how can, you know, the Holy Spirit telling them what you had determined, and yet they're having this response. And that's one thing I love, one of the many things I love about Scripture. We get the whole counsel of God. We get the whole view. He doesn't hide some parts, because maybe if I was God, I would say, I'm not going to tell them about that response. I'm just going to say they were moved by the Spirit and they did exactly everything the Spirit was telling them to do. But it didn't tell us that. It told us about their human response. And there is room for the human response. The Spirit explicitly told them what was ahead. It was not kept a secret, yet out of their love and concern for their brother, they led with their heart. And we do that, right? We have a human response. We have a human connection. And one of the things, you know, that has been happening with me lately is, you know, with my children, you know, in my prayers to the Lord, I'm weeping and pleading, and the Lord, I was like, Lord, you got to fix this, that, and the other thing. And the Lord was like, Grace, you do realize that I love them more than you love them. You do realize that I am God in their life. You do realize that I'm the one that drew them and not you. You do realize that there is a God in heaven. And so now when I texted my daughter Jocelyn, I said, good morning, daughter of God. And she texts back, LOL, mom, you're so funny. I said, well, the reason I'm saying that is because I'm training my mind to recognize that you're his daughter. You're his daughter. And the path that I see, if I could, you know, it's not up to me. I would change things. I would, you know, if I could, I would do this and that and the other thing. And God said, that's why you ain't God. I'm doing my thing. I'm doing my thing. I'm working my work. She's on a journey with me. She's on a journey unique for her. And you see the Apostle Paul? You got to know what God has put in your heart. He says, I'm compelled. And I give bad advice to my children. I give advice out of my humanness, out of my thinking I know what needs to happen. But God is God. He is God in their life. And he will do what he's going to do. I would probably save them from something that God has ordained to bring them in his relationship with them so they know what they know what they know. Because God did it. This is their testimony. The Lord told me that one day. This is a part of her testimony. Stay out of it. This is a part of her testimony. God is doing something. I can't know what he's doing. But he's doing something. He never sleeps. He never takes a nap. He knows the end from the beginning. The self-existent God is at work. Hallelujah, Lord. You are Lord of Lords, as the youth sang, Majesty.
Yes.
We worship your majesty. When we think of who he really is and all that he is, we bow before him in our hearts. And sometimes, many times physically, we just fall on our faces because he is God. He is all of that. We cannot even see all that he is. We can't appreciate all that he is. But he is God. He's not weak. He's not tired. He hasn't given up. He knows what he's doing. So I said, God, help me. Help me, Lord, to know how to talk to you. And I'll start to pray a certain way. And the Lord changes how I'm praying. He says, thank me right now. Thank me. What you got to thank me for? And he, this divine connection, it's real, this divine connection. The road can be so rough and rugged. Every uncertain step is like walking up a steep hill. And all I can see is the cliff. All I can see is the cliff. And that's just the truth. I don't see how this ends well. And I said, Lord, I don't see how this ends well. This is when the work of believing comes in.
Yes, yes.
And you may wonder, why does he say your work is to believe? Believing is real work.
Yeah.
We're talking about coming out of the lab environment into what is actual, the real world. This is what that looks like. Holy Spirit,
yes.
This is what that looks like. This is where believing comes in. This right here. Okay.
Right here.
You were thinking about it's going to be over there, and I'm going to believe in the by and by. No, it's right here in this moment. It's right here in this moment. And it could be something simple like choosing to trust God in how I'm going to love that person today. And it's not about giving my body to be burned. It's not about, you know, some grandiose thing. It could be just, you know, I know it's their turn to do the dishes, but I'll do it. That's the way I'm going to love somebody. That's how I'm going to love them today. I'm going to believe that love conquers all. And this is what love looks like right now in this moment. And so, and I do it through his divine enablement. To him saying, hey, Grace, that moment is now. This is the believing part. This is believing that what I said is what is. Love is patient. It's now. This is that moment for that work. This is it right here. Love is kind. What is kind right now? This is when you apply that one, Grace. This is the work of believing. It's right now. It's here in this moment. This is what it looks like. Believing, the work of believing. Believing in the one who promised never to leave me.
Never.
It's work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Believing is not for the faint of heart. The song says, I draw the closer to thee. From cares, he sets me free. What does it look like in the moment? I'm drawing closer to you. So I'm going to draw closer to you, Lord. This is hard. I see that steep hill. I'm going to draw closer to you. And, you know, that even though I'm saying I realize that apart from him, I can do nothing. This is where my praise swells up because his divine enablement moves me to that place of trust. Mm-hmm. And baby steps of trust lead to bigger steps of trust.
Amen.
The baby steps and, you know, making, you know, and I've said it before, when taking baby steps, you're still moving forward. Don't have to be no big, gigantic step. It could be, okay, I'm going to give you a hug right now. Don't feel like it, but I think the Holy Spirit wants me to do it, because I didn't have that thought, so it must have come from the Holy Spirit. That didn't come from me. Give him, huh? All right, here we go. And I draw the closer to thee from cares. He sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know. I know. What can you say, I know?
I know.
What do you know? What do you know? For he watches over me. But think about it. What can you say that I know, that I know, that I know? He has, it's something that he did. I know that God will get me through because last week I could not see how I was going to get me through it, but he got me through it. I know that he can do anything.
That's right.
I've seen him do it.
Yeah.
I've seen him do it.
Yes.
Yes, he will. Won't he do it?
Yes.
And it's a real thing. It's not theoretical.
That's right.
This is actual. Authenticated work.
That's right.
His work has been authenticated through and in the midst of. I'm so glad the word is so complete and honest. Their honest response to the Spirit could have been left out. But the Spirit wants us to see that surely His grace is sufficient for our human response. Jesus had a human response, didn't he? Came to earth, but in that moment, he says, please let this cup pass from me. That's the humanity coming out. The human response. These Holy Ghost-filled believers had a human response. Finally, they said, when they couldn't dissuade Paul, the Lord's will be done. Even though this is usually said with resignation, when it looks like we are not going to get our way, this is when we usually say, the Lord's will be done. God's not going to do it my way. God's not going to answer when I call. God's not going to do it. The Lord's will be done. All right. Whatever. We may as well put that whatever in there. Whatever. The Lord's will be done. But what the Lord is showing me is that this is actually a bold statement of faith. The Lord's will be done. I can't see it, God, but you are God all by yourself. You are the self-existent God who made the universe. You made the ocean. Your will. Because you are God. It's a bold statement of faith. It's saying, I am going to accept His will. His will is best. So when we say, your will be done, it's a bold statement of faith. And when God, through His Spirit, enables us to say that, and there His peace in that moment, His peace with His will, however it turns out, and God moves us to that place as He nourishes us through our connection with Him. He moves us to the place where we can say, however it turns out, Lord, your divine will be done. Paul says, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm compelled to do this thing. Okay, doesn't look too good from what I'm hearing. But I'm ready to go. My life is not my own. Sounds good. My life is not my own. To you I belong. But our life is truly not our own anymore. We are His. We are His lock, stock, and barrel. That's what I see in Paul's life. I'm yours, lock, stock, and barrel, wherever, Lord, I'm okay. If going is what I need to do, if staying is what I need to do, Lord, your will be done. Because I'm yours. My life is not my own. And as the Lord continues to move and take us to, you know, there are levels. And you reach one level, and you say, wow, look at where the Lord brought me. And the Lord says, there's more to come. Yeah, you are not where you were, but there's still more. Press on with me. don't be scared. He said that a couple times. Don't be afraid. I was like, and I come to you, Lord. I said, Lord, I'm so afraid. I feel it, Lord. You said not to be afraid. And as I talked to him about my worry and my anxiety, as I talked to him about it, he wraps his arms around me. Because this is a real connection. When Jesus left them physically, he says, the world won't see me, but you're going to see me. We see him with us. We hear his voice. Accept it. That's God telling me to do that because it wasn't my idea. I would not have chosen this. God, what are you up to? What are you up to? And the Lord is more and more, you know, my day-to-day work. It's not about, you know, the Lord showed me, it's not really about what you have planned today, Grace. I planned it Friday. I was teaching a class, and the Lord has impressed upon me this prayer. Lord, whatever, this is what I have planned today, but Lord, do what you do, because I'm yours. And, you know, at the end of class, one of the nurses, she just said out of the blue, for no reason, she says, my son is having an issue and worried. He's got to have this 4-year-old son, going to have this diagnostic test. And she started talking about it. And so, you know, just I found the words leaving my mouth. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray. And her eyes welled up. And she said, thank you. Thank you. I need that. And I was like, wow, Lord. Didn't see that coming. But we are the Lord's. His life is our life. So the divine enablement through his spirit. There's this word of this song that I'm going to be leaving you with. It's the song, Someone Bigger Than You and I. Many of you may know it. But it says, who made the mountains? Who made the trees? Who made the rivers flow to the sea? Who hung a moon in a starry sky? Somebody bigger than you and I. Who makes the flowers bloom in spring? Who writes the song for the robin to sing? And who sends the rain when the earth is dry? Somebody bigger than you and I. He lights the way when the road is long, and he'll keep you company with his love to guide you. He walks beside you just like he walks with me. When I am weary, filled with despair, who gives me courage to go on from there? Who gives me faith that will never die? Somebody bigger than you and I. Yes, we have a vine connection that gives us divine enablement. So praise the Lord.